Welcome to The Ether. Today is Saturday, August 13th, 2022. Today on The Ether, part two of the two-part Cosmos Blazin' Babble, Chillin' Chat, hosted by the Homestead Cosmonaut. Let's take a listen.
The idea was, how can we turn this project into something for the entire community? And how can we make this fun for everyone? And again, my initial forever and first Cosmos airdrop in forever that we could have some fun with, and how can we make this fun for the entire community? So I'm so glad you guys, Sunnyside, Tin, King, Bonzi, I know you were out of town for some vacation time that you deserve. So I don't mean to exclude you, but you know, Tin and King were working with me behind the scenes the last couple of weeks, helping supply prizes for giveaways out in the community. We had Area 47 base helping with that. I hope we've got some cool stuff lined up coming in the next couple of weeks as we get closer to our NFT launch. But again, just the support that some of these projects have lent to us in the early going, and especially like reaching out to us in the back channels, supporting us in the Twitter spaces when things were kind of ugly, and new team, you know, all of us navigate those bumps that we were going through.
Yo, I gotta jump in quick to give a shout out.
Supported us. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. All good. Just on that topic, to give a shout out to Tin, you know, the Sunnyside Reapers artist that I, you know, poked him at one point. I was like, hey, gelato people are looking for some art for, you know, their Discord emojis and stuff. And then he went in and hopped in, and I think he created some that ended up being used in your Discord. I thought was super cool. I was super proud of him, because he does such good work, especially in that space. It needs to be like distinct, visual, bold, without having like a shit ton of detail that you're going to lose when you scale it down. That's part of why I feel like the Reapers, and just like in general, his art has been so successful, is he has such a way of creating this visually distinct stuff that like comes through even at various resolution sizes. So shout out to him.
Hey King, thank you so much for bringing that up. And sorry, you guys, feedback noise. I'm rolling month up. So I'm scratching or twisting or anything. What's going on? Anyways, it was really cool the way that emoji contest got going, kind of organically. Tin dominated it a little bit at first. I almost had to be like, Tim, pump the brakes, because we know you've got these skills and you got to give everybody else a chance. But it was cool, and honestly want to throw that out for anybody in this right now, in our Discord, we've got a contest. If you create a custom emoji for us or a graphic that we can use on the gaming platform, you throw it in the contest channel. If we love it, you get a little gelato bonus for helping us out. If it's used on the platform, you know, it's your credit. You can take credit for it that you supplied us the graphic used on our platform. You put it on your resume or whatever it is that people need these days in Web3, to say they helped out with. You know, we can help other people in even the smallest ways like that. If you want to help us with the look of things, if you want to help just enter a contest because you're good with graphic design, and to hell with it, why not take a chance? Get on over in our Discord and shoot us a custom emoji or something we can use on the platform, and you know, like I said, your own art will be there. You can point to that and have the bragging rights at the very least. And maybe gelato bonus.
It's one of the things that I really like the most is like getting the community like involved with that. It really goes underset in that aspect. Like, you know, at least for our project, we'd be nowhere with like out our OGs. Like our OGs have shout us out more than ever. And just being able to like give back in a way, you know, obviously they gave you like the emoji, but the fact that, you know, their emoji now is in this Discord where like they get a claim credit for it, or for ours, like we have some assets that are tied to OGs that they requested where now their name shows up. And it's like, especially as like a newer project, it's hard to give back right away, but just finding unique ways like that to help like give back or show appreciation, I think is one of the coolest things that you can do in this space.
Honestly, Bonzi, you know, I give credit where credit is due. I am, you know, admittedly, I haven't been in this space that long. I've been trying to get involved and learn as much as I can, help as many people as I can, things like that. And, you know, a lot of the things that have kind of informed my thoughts or the way I want to go about doing things when I help people have come from others, right? Like, people lead by example, people follow the example they like. And so honestly, one of those is Sunnyside Reefers. Like, the way you guys established your beginning community, the way you committed to sticking by those OGs, rewarding those OGs, things like that. You know, Daniel or Risley, I'm sure, could tell you how I brought that up in private chat plenty of times. Like, we want to be something very large with the idea of gambling platform and things like that. But at the same time, we're not going to be very successful if in these early stages we don't care for and cultivate that early community, whether it be the partnerships we make with these, you know, real projects in the Cosmos ecosystem, whether it be the ambassadors and the early Discord supporters that we're, you know, making sure we shout out and things like that because they've helped us answer so many questions. But that's the point. And I've made that in plenty of spaces, not just one where we're chatting about Sunnyside or we're chatting about gelato, but I've made that in a general Cosmos DeFi space. You know, like, if you're out there right now and you're trying to do something, you don't build a community first, it's going to be very hard. And if you've built a community, you can do almost anything. And I always say this, look at Reapers, they release another series, their community shows up and they're half minted out in the first week, you know? And that speaks volumes, you know? Look at Knots, it's the same way. They put out another series, you know, their community shows up, they're 30% to 50% minted out in the first week. If you've got your community established, you can do things. Outside of Stargaze, like Viral, look at what they're doing with their community. Their auctions are ridiculous. What they did with the Secret Sock Society, that minted out in like a week, 10 days, something like that. Again, and you can do amazing things. Your mint cost isn't going to be a deterrent. You can set your mint cost wherever you want. Sunnyside Reaper shows that. Manahi Cosmos showed that. Crypto Tank showed that. He almost got to 30% minted out at like a $200 mint cost for something that he wasn't even telling people exactly what they were getting. We all just kind of
I was just about to mention that. Like, I figured you were going to bring up Crypto Tank and the Maneki, but I was super impressed with that. I'm a little you know, envious. I never at the point where I had enough stars that weren't staked to buy a Maneki, but it was always on the back of my mind. I was like talking, you know, Bonzi can back me up on this. I was like messaging the team probably like four times. I'm like, should we pool stars and get a Maneki? I still wish we did. Maybe we'll get one off of the marketplace if they're at like 15K stars now. I don't even know.
I've got an extra that I'll sell to the Sunnyside community and you guys can hold it for the use case from the crypto. Yeah, absolutely. Hell yeah,
that would be great.
Let us know, and just talk to, we'll get that sorted out.
Absolutely. I mean, if you guys are going to hold it and be active members of the Crypto Tank and Eki DAO, I'd love to spread that utility out rather than just hold it for myself.
Yeah, Nick is so King of Memes, Nick, he's definitely taken on like our kind of crypto activist role unintentionally. I'm just kind of throwing that role onto his title as well at this point.
Yeah, but, no, that's fine. I'll take it.
Because, especially like for all of July, you know, I was less engaged. I had a ton of stuff going at work. So, you know, Nick and Tin really took over during that time. But like, no, absolutely. Like anything, you know, crypto related, that like Nick is by far the most heavily engaged and he is engaged. So I think we're definitely good with going through with that and holding it. You know, like we always want to help support the art creators that we want to work with, and we think are, you know, doing the same thing. They're helping keep the community active and, you know, helping grow just the user base and the ecosystem of Stargaze and other NFT spaces as a whole.
So when you say that, you know, I want to come back to the first half of what you were just saying. And, you know, it kind of makes me wonder, like, when Sunnyside DAO or when Sunnyside Chain?
Oh, are you sure you want to ask? I will.
On the rabbit hole.
On Bonzi has opinion that you guys will like them.
Yeah. That's my second hot take of the night. You know, me, again, I kind of mentioned before, like my mindset is very corporate. It's actually very different than generally what a lot of crypto is. It's kind of by design as well. I try to be combative because it's more memorable. It's hit or miss for better or worse. But the DAOs, I've always taken shots on Atlas DAO is in here. So like, I'm not going to speak like too harshly or anything, but my main argument is generally, if you trust the team behind the project, why do you need the DAO? Our entire thing is supposed to be transparent. So with our project, we have always stated, hey, we're going to do what we think is best for the community, but there are times where we need to override the community. Better or worse, their decision where, hey, you know, the community doesn't want us, let's say, to integrate the game beyond Stargaze, and they vote for that. Well, our entire thing is there's not going to be a large enough user base on Stargaze alone to maintain the game, so we would need to override that to be on other chains. So we want to keep that veto power in our control. And we hope that people support us along the way and trust us to make the right decisions for the project.
I love the honesty there. Go ahead, Jacob. I don't mean to cut you off.
No, I was going to say, I think, no, you're 100% correct. Like, for some project, it doesn't make sense to have a DAO.
Because, there you go.
Like,
everybody has to be a DAO. Yeah, not everybody has to be a DGEN. Right,
yeah, like, I mean, because some projects they kind of require like a centralized entity. Like if you're building a game cannot be a DAO. That's not what the game gonna be successful. There need to be some kind of centralized aspect to it, like a team that's building every aspect of it.
One thing is like PS Labs, the guy, I think his name's David. He always says this, like, this is my vision. This is my company. I want to have a say in how this runs. You know. There could be a point where I get there and I say, okay, let's spin this off and let other people control it and decide where it goes. But it's what he's passionate about and it's what he's created. And so why should you be forced to feel like you have to cede that to control, right?
And like, I totally agree. And just to kind of step back on my initial like harsh take that it took. I the more I'm thinking about it. Okay, fair. But
it wasn't like, harsh. It was honest. You didn't put anyone down or anything. You just gave a well-reasoned opinion.
But I do think with the Maneki's, like Atlas DAO, I think things that are community focused, the DAOs make sense. I do think they work in that regard. I'm a bring up and take a shot at my own investment here, but like I'm heavily invested in Kava. Kava has a DAO, but this is one of my biggest complaints. A lot of DAOs are doing it for marketing, because when it comes down to it, like the Kava DAO, they own over, you know, they own enough votes to vote the proposals in every time. So it's a centralized organization under the veil of a DAO, just to make it seem like centralized. That was always one of my biggest complaints, is like it just doesn't have it doesn't serve a purpose, or they kind of have to be shady or lie about it. It's the true community projects, I think, where DAOs shine. But I think too many projects that aren't really a community-based project try to force it in just because it's a hot word at the moment.
Bonzi, I love your honesty, and I love your take. Honestly, there's a lot of what you're saying that's very true. I think most people listening have a hard time to disagree on what you're saying about, like, it sounds nice, and there's a lot of reason people use it because it sounds nice. It's interesting. I've been talking about maybe having like these couple of spaces with Crypto Tank as like a roundtable chat. And he was here earlier, and I guess he probably had to go. I wish he was still here to chat about when we could do it or how, but we were thinking about different focus, one of them being like P2E games. There's several of those coming out right now, one of them being DAOs. We've got many of those in the cosmos, and it's nice to hear your take, because you're neither of those, but it sounds like you have a place at that round table discussion, because what you said kind of to start that statement was where I'm experienced, where I'm couched in, is kind of a business aspect. So that's how I look at things like DAOs, and I would assume your take on P2Es too, but it gives you a different look at it, or it brings in a different perspective, or it brings in a different argument to having that discussion. And I think that's pretty important, because what happens is, you know what, AquaDAO, Atlas DAO, they're doing great things. Everything's amazing. Like, we all want to do great things. But, like, somebody needs to say, like, we could do this. You know, there's other ways that projects can be run. Not every project needs to be a DAO. And so I love that you kind of bring that aspect of like, hey, we can look at these things in more of a business modeled mindset, but still be transparent and decentralized in terms of operating on the blockchain, having our followers, our community, exactly what we're doing. Because how many Reapers are in here right now? Every one of them could tell me what's going on with Sunnyside Reapers, you know? Like, to some extent, like, you could be as decentralized as you want, and your community have no idea what you're doing. And you could be four or five people with this end goal in mind, and your community knows exactly what you're doing, and they're more involved than, you know, some kind of crazy DAO or something like that. And so I think that's cool to hear, like, the way you're like, yeah, you know, I look at these things from a business perspective, and they've got their places in some spots, but not everyone needs to be this, you know?
Yeah. Well, and when we started, I've been involved with crypto for a while, mostly as an investor. When we got into the NFT space, you know, we jumped head into it. Like, I did research on, you know, everything that I could that I thought would be relevant. And, you know, the route that we're going is different than a lot of other projects. You know, we're not pay to earn, you know, we're not the DAO. A lot of kind of what we're doing was just...
You said that from the start, Bonzi, and I thought that was really cool. Like, one of the first times I ever heard you in Spaces.
Yeah.
You said, like, this is not a play-to-earn thing. Like, people are going to look at us and say, we're play-to-earn or something like that. And I want everyone to know, like, we are not advertising ourselves as that. We'll have a chance down the line when we build our game to sell their NFTs for value. But we are not building ourselves as some kind of play-to-earn game. We have an idea of what we want to be. We want to build this awesome card game that's fun to play, easy to play on a DApp through, you know, the app stores on your mobile phone, things like that. And I thought that was pretty refreshing. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, but like, you brought it up, so I did.
No, I'll never let somebody talk us up for a minute. but everything that I looked into, like what worked, what doesn't work. One of the things that I think happens really aggressively and over the top in crypto is people hop on trends. I'm going to bring up an easy one that I think most people can agree is a bunch of bullshit. Move to earn. Do you guys, I feel like some people have heard the term move to earn. You watched Optimism or whatever, like 180% on Coinbase listing and then drop 70% a day. Like, move to earn's bullshit. Like, it's run for the 5K without the part where you're giving anything to charity. So, and play to earn is not that egregious, but when it's a bull market, people ape into whatever the hot ticket item was. One of the hot ticket items was play to earn. And I don't know if anyone played Axie Infinity, but you essentially pay $700 to play bad Pokemon. Like, that's what the game is. I think no one's playing it for the game. Everyone's playing it because they earn money off of it. In the long run, you have a bad game. That's what you have. Like, it's just not sustainable. What I think creators really should be focusing on is the gameplay. If you have a game that's fun and things are tradable where you can make a royalty off of it, that's what's sustainable long term. You can't just bank on this idea that, hey, the market's always going to go up. People are always going to just think they can make money for playing this bad game that's a chore. I know in some countries, they literally opened up offices where people just played Axie Infinity. That was like, it wasn't, I don't know, a religious company. Literally just had a bunch of people playing Axie Infinity to make money. And it's like, it's just not going to work forever. Eventually, when it comes down to it, you need something people want to play, not something that can only be sustained in a bull market where you can continuously pull in more users. It mirrors that of a Ponzi scheme. It's just, you know, what we saw, we're just like, hey, you introduce pay to earn. And the other aspect of it is so many projects right now, NFTs are barely looked at in the legal regard because they're not big enough. A lot of projects, they make these huge plans that, quite frankly, are going to get torn to shreds in the court if they ever did make it big. So they almost need to rely on being small. I'm not saying that about Axie Infinity, but just in general, I think a lot of projects, like, you know, if they need to be a long round term, they got to have a plan for things that they know are problematic in the future. Primary example just being like alternate Ricks, right? You know, they literally just copied copyrighted material. It doesn't matter if you made it from scratch. It mirrored exactly what was on the TV. And luckily now Stargaze is clamping down on the copyright things, which, you know, you see complaints from users, but it's for the best. Like, you got to plan for the long term. And Stargaze at least is taking that step to say, hey, you know, you can't just take Marvel's Batman and print him as an NFT. Like, it just doesn't, you just can't do that. So I look for the projects that are thinking long-term because those are the ones who can be around long-term. There's a lot of projects that are going to struggle with that if they ever did make it big. And we're trying to do everything we can to make sure that, hey, if we do what we're saying we're going to do and we make it, that when they run into those issues that we see.
Elliot, you're not saying you're going to mint 4-8 Club number 4 on Stargaze?
Oh, I minted out the first 5. You want to know who all the mints were on the Scam Ape Yacht Club? All me, baby. The project funds are gone.
He saw it come up and he was in. It's cool to hear you say that, Bonzi, about like looking at what Axie did and things like that. Because that's another thing that I've come across a lot, maybe 2 weeks. And that, you know, learning from what happened from what, like November to March, from November to May, like a lot of shit happened in that 5 months, 6 months, a lot of bad shit. Like we're just finally getting past it and having fun again. And, you know, like I've heard in spaces a lot people talking about that. Like, look at what happened. This is what we're trying to do differently. And in general, that's mostly like, look at what happened in Terra, or look at what happened with other Cosmos things that haven't worked out. But like, it's great to just hear like these projects continuing to build, like what you just said, like, look at what happened with Axie. And like, people were just buying into it and like, setting up shops to like milk it for what it was worth. And then what happened when it just crashed out? And, you know, is actually still going to be a thing? Is it still a thing? I haven't really looked at AXS on.
I think it actually is still very lately. Like, so, I think it's, you know, still in the top 50 coins.
It's one of those things, you know, is it have enough following, enough people who are bought in? They're just going to keep playing the game and hope it goes up again. You know?
I guess, you know, it's in the top 50 coins, so obviously they're still wildly successful. There's always going to be a diamond, right? Like,
Sure.
Like,
is Axie a diamond even, right? Like you said, it's a shitty game.
Oh, yeah. No, right? I don't think it's going to stay.
Or was it just the one that got valued highest in the end of the last cycle, you know?
Yeah. No, I think you're right. About. Because, you know, kind of think of it like the 2017 bull run, like dentist coin was in the top 100 coins, the coin where you could pay for dentist appointments, like it just ridiculous things. And, you know, I don't think we've seen the full shift in which coins are around and which ones are going out of style yet. I you know, unless it's wildly changed since the last time I tried playing, I just don't think it's going to be one to stay.
Oh, I've got a hot take for the space here. I don't think Selena is going to be sticking around, and I really hope it doesn't, because the amount of shit that has continued to go down with that chain that has remained unfixed is a deal breaker for me. And I really hope it dies and everyone moves over to IBC and Cosmos.
What's your argument against the like the typical like the typical backup argument of Solana is, well, there's so much money there, and there's so much VC there. They're going to figure out a way. They're going to persevere. They're going to shut it down when they have to and boot back up and all that. Like, because there's so much of that there, they're going to find a way to survive. And let me put a like real, I don't know, simplistic, like, analogy on it. Like, Solana is not. Does that make sense? Like, Microsoft in the 90s sucked. Everyone hated it. It slowed everyone's computers down. It, you know, gave you a blue screen of death, things like that. But it was good enough and cheap enough that everyone really adopted it. And some of that was certainly the economics of the Web 2 craze and things like that, right? And the economics that we still have now, which, you know,
be not very decentralized, like things, contracts go to a lowest bidder, not necessarily the best project or things like that. So some of that is why Microsoft succeeded. But that, again, is to me the argument why a project like Solana might succeed, is because people are going to be willing to go with good enough because it's cheap and fast enough. And so I guess I want to hear what you think about that, because that's kind of the argument against Solana failing, honestly.
Nick, that one's all you, buddy, with the hot take.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest issue with them is the amount of downtime. Now, like, that was, you know, Zuckerberg's famous thing was like, if we are down for 3 hours, that kills us as a platform. And Solana has had like two, maybe three high profile multi-day downtimes because of fundamentals of how the chain actually works. And so that's my biggest issue with it, is you look at stuff like that, you look at Luna collapsing, you look at all of that. IBC remained, you know, Cosmos platforms remained solvent during that. They were able to handle that fucking earthquake. Like, you know, Terra, Earth, it all comes together. Whoa. I've had a few tokes. So that's where my head is going at the moment.
No, well, I just lit another one, so don't worry about it. So you're kind of thinking like the fact that this industry, this ecosystem, this new economy of cryptocurrency, tokenomics, is so new that Solana is destined to fail because there's so many superior things out there. Is that what you're saying?
I feel like that's definitely part of it. I feel like, now I'm not super educated on all of it, but I feel like Solana itself is quite centralized compared to a lot of the other projects, correct? Like, from your understanding?
I mean, from my understanding, it's one of the most VC projects out there. I don't know if that necessarily means it's centralized, but there's a lot of money that has been poured into it from rich entities, and that tends to make things centralized. The fact that, like, the way their chain halts happen makes that, like, affirms that centralized argument for everybody else, right? And so that is definitely part of that narrative. So yes, like, to answer your question, yes, but like at the same time, I kind of look at things in the broad picture, and you know, that's my take on it as well too.
I guess, well, all right, so I don't see Nick speaking, so I use it in crypto a lot too, like it's kind of outdated things that stay around, right? Like in Bitcoin, there's really like no, you know, there's superior cryptos to it, but it was the first to market, it's around, it's going to be ever try to interact with it in any kind of way has just been nothing short of a goddamn nightmare. But like, it's going to stay around, I know it will. And Solana, I think, might just end up being one of those. It's the same way with, I put it similar to Polkadot, right? I don't know if you've ever tried to do a Polkadot auction, but again, it's a nightmare. It's like, where the fuck do these rewards go to? Like, you're getting the token that doesn't have a wallet for it, so you're supposed to get paid in this token that there's no wallet for. I think they're just kind of bad by design, but as you said, Homestead, like, there's so much money pumped into it that they just might succeed or stay around simply because there's too much money in it.
That's exactly my thought. Like, there's a few things like that that have done well enough. And I think a lot of the lunatic community kind of felt that way about Terra, right? Enough money had been pumped into it. The ecosystem was booming. Like, how is it going to not make it? And so there could still be shock and awe like that. But really, like, at this point, with the way we've had some of these kind of shady centralized exchanges and shady like DeFi protocols wrecked, and all of us with it, at the same time, we've seen the protocols that are still surviving, and you know, like I mean, Solana isn't at 260, but it still held some value comparatively to, you know, bottoming out to zero, like people like to talk about, right? So, like, again, there's rhetoric there and things like that you have to factor in. But it was the last one that they got shut down for. And weren't they down to almost 20 or below 20? And look how quickly they recovered from that. Like, and I was looking at it like, oh, Solana's dying. This is it, you know? No, they didn't. So again, I think that kind of affirms the argument. Like, there's enough support there, whether it's people that bought in early money, seed money, whatever like that, or VC money. That one's kind of like destined to survive or destined to keep chugging, whether it survives and does well or just keeps chugging, you know?
Yeah, no, I mean, I do agree. I think there's a lot of shifting that'll still happen, but some just get too much money pumped into them from people that matter too much for them to actually die, unfortunately.
So have we reached the point with crypto where there's certain chains that are too big to fail? Like, obviously, like Bitcoin and Ethereum aren't going to anytime soon.
I wish Ethereum
would. Bitcoin's designed to live forever, right? And, you know, I don't know about Ethereum. I think there could be things that end up displacing it, but its first mover advantage, it is what it is right now. But like some of these other chains, like Solana, is basically one of the best examples right now. Have we gotten to the point where a few of these things are just too big to fail and there's people pumping in enough money to just keep it going in something like this?
Even think about, like, so just in the idea of too big to fail, think about Atom and everything Atom powers. Like, Atom can't go down. If that failed, that would be it. Like, I don't know how it would even fail, but just to make an example of too big to fail, right? Like, so many ecosystems just rely on it. So I definitely think there are...
we have reached that point?
Yeah, I think so.
And how bullish is that for cryptocurrency? If, like, side chains, like alt chains, alternative ecosystems, like, are too big to fail. Like, how bullish is that going into the next run? Like, how many people think that now? There are cryptocurrencies out there that are not, Bitcoin, not Ethereum. Like, there are altcoins out there that have big ecosystems under them that are surviving this, and they're too big to fail already. How many people are thinking about that?
Oh, probably not many. You know, like, especially just from the investment side point, everyone still does compare, like, Bitcoin to gold, right? Like, gold is just kind of a commodity. Like, yeah, they use it in jewelry and it's used in manufacturing and stuff. At the end of the day, it's just another rock, you know. Diamonds, they're used for cutting and stuff. But like,
would rather have Bitcoin than gold?
God, throw everyone
if you're listening, yeah, throw a heart or a clap. How many of you would rather have Bitcoin than gold right now?
I swear, if I see zero, I'm sad.
It's a blazing Babel space. They've all spaced out on us, dude.
I hope so. It'd be sad.
Yeah, seriously, right?
Peter Schiff and his 24 alt accounts here just to boost gold up a little bit.
No, dude, Little Gains has got his named rack down there. I think that's really him. I don't think it's just people trolling our space.
You know, sorry, I was busy following everybody in this space, and I got halfway through, and then I realized I wasn't following them on the Sunnyside Reapers Twitter's account, which is what I intended to do. So, Elliot, why don't you go ahead and follow all the people in the space? And then I will continue following everyone in the space, but just on this account.
Everyone's going to also get unfollowed by somebody else. Just joking, you guys.
But I don't know. When it comes down to it, I just think you're starting to see more utility there where it's just only going to continue to build. I, you know, a lot of crypto is still theoretical. I think one of the best examples of one that is being used is Chainlink, just to pump that out. Like, Chainlink, I forget how many data feeds like use it now, but it's actually like a pretty insane amount. So, you know, NFTs, like, they're going to start getting in popularity too. I know you don't like the ticketing idea. I think that's going to be the first big thing that they get used for on a regular basis.
I don't mind tickets. I just want to be able to get my bracelet. I want my son to be able to go to a festival and barter for a bracelet.
It's going to be harder. Hold on. You go up, right? Because you'll still need the physical bracelet, because what if your phone dies, right? Then you can't prove that you have the NFT ticket. But you go up there, they scan your NFT, right? Then they give you the bracelet in return. So you can still do your haggling of, you know, the joint and the alcohol ticket between the bracelet and still be able to ponder that off. But I think the bracelets aren't going to go away. They're forever. But I do think NFT ticketing is going to be the first mainstream adoption of NFTs beyond just the profile pictures. I think that would be my best guess.
Yeah, to get on the ticketing aspect, Loop Finance, what they're doing, they're doing something similar to that. I think they call it Loop Ticks or something like that. About ticketing, and Omniflix did a good job of that, but I haven't seen the ticket as an NFT yet on Omniflix.
Yeah, and I remember hearing about Omniflix doing it, and the reason I have so much faith in that is the fact that tickets, you know, if you know how to make an NFT collection, you can already do it. It's a low barrier to entry. And it's very easy to scale up. Like, I don't think Ticketmaster does it yet. Primary reason being is that, like, you know, they get a charge $40 in ticket fees right now. They don't really have a competitor. But if there's anything that comes up that's like, hey, there aren't any fees, you pay us this flat rate, and they can gain in popularity and they use this NFT system, it can force, say, Ticketmaster to switch this new system. They'll never voluntarily switch to it because they're making too much money with the current system. They have no incentive to switch to a system, even though it's better. So I think it's going to be a disruptor, but it takes time for disruptors to matter to bigger players, would be my take.
That's all I had. Somebody else can go.
I don't know, you get.
Yo, Bonzi, while we're here, do you want to drop some Sunnyside Reefers? Sunnyside Reefers, wow, Reefers. Okay.
Jesus.
Sunnyside Reapers, Reefer Alpha, do you want to drop any of that?
Yeah, but real quick.
Serious Reefer related?
Hold on, over there. Is this the actual IBC friends? Yeah, it is their account. You guys need to get back to me on the DMs. I see you in here. That referring to the reefer comment, just from the few that Tin had made for some of the people that were fans of both. Yeah, is that all right though, Homestead? If I drop a little bit of what we got?
Oh, absolutely. Why wouldn't it be okay?
Cool. So I'll just hit like a few short points. You know, we just hosted like a small space for the recording where we gave some pretty in-depth detail about the project and goals. But, you know, on 2 days, August 15th, the team's meeting with the Loop's finance market team, Jay over there, to work on bringing Sunnyside Island over to Loop's finance. Beyond that, one of the things that we're doing is right before or after our game's launch, which we're anticipating December 2022, we're coming out with a very limited 13-piece collection size. The art is actually going to be quality, like way different than what we have currently. We are planning on making these 13, the seven deadly sins themed after Reapers.
What do you mean what you have currently isn't high quality?
I mean, I don't mean to cut you off there, but like, no. So like right now, our art is simple in nature. What we're gonna end up having, and I'm trying to think of a good example, but like the Sky Monks quality, the
Anyo
quality, like the Space Ape quality, the IBC Friends quality, where it's just like definitely, you know, there was more effort put in, there's shading to it, there's a lot more to it. And then these Reapers are going to be 13 collection size, 7 are after the Deadly Sins, 4 are after the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, 1's the Angel, 1's the Demon. And then these Reapers are going to be eligible for airdrops on either a monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly basis for card items that will be one of 13s in the game. So whoever holds them gets these airdrops on a monthly, bi-monthly, or quarterly basis. That's the alpha I got for you guys. You know, what we ended up doing is because Tin's busy with our gameplay assets as well as Island, we have, well, it's Tin's friend, but we contracted them out to help us create this set where everything that they do, the initial sketches, we give feedback along the way, we make changes to what we want to see, and that's how we're getting this collection created.
That's great. Looking forward to it. I own a lot of Reapers, just so you know.
Love it. Yeah, no, everyone knows our goal, right? We want to be as far and wide as possible and just make it easily accessible to have a Reaper and hold a Reaper and become eligible for the airdrop for the game. That's the end goal. And, you know, we want to make it so, you know, even if you aren't big into NFTs, like, we got giveaways galore where we can just, you know, help you at least get exposed and hopefully interested in either our project or even if not our project, just the Stargaze ecosystem and Cosmos ecosystem as well. Eventually, you know, we do want to put more effort towards other chains, but right now we're a small team and we got to put our resources where we think we're going to get the most bang for our buck on them.
And one thing I will add to that is I'll definitely go ahead and retweet the video of our initial gameplay that we developed through Tabletop Simulator, which is like, you know, just a PC program that you can create like a card game. So we created Sunnyside Cemetery in that and then played around and recorded that. And that was actually what we ended up submitting to the Stargaze team. And I mean, Monty can talk more about this, but we're pretty sure that was part of what got us onto Launchpad was after their team saw the video. So that's kind of cool. And it has a hilarious ending. If you watch to the end, you can see me being inept at Tabletop Simulator and not knowing that a certain button that I thought did one thing actually did something entirely different and entirely hilarious. So that video is really funny, and I'll try to find it and retweet it so people can see it. Because that's a really cool, like, short visual way that you can see what we're hoping that Sunnyside Cemetery will play like. It's going to be a little bit more complex and also less complex than what you see, because right now everything we're doing is manual, and we're going to have game logic that automates a ton of stuff in the background. And Bonzi can talk about this, or we can shut up, but we're hoping that it's going to be a lot of fun to jump into and play.
I think we've covered enough about it. You know, it's so technical, kind of what we have space for. So I'll definitely put it back to something more generalized. But I appreciate you guys like giving us a kind of about what we got coming up to a little bit. So I don't know
here. Well, we appreciate you sharing. I apologize if anybody's getting any rug effects. I had to switch off technology from one tech to some other tech, so hopefully it didn't really have sound quality for everyone too badly.
Oh, are you one of the dev behind Sunny Reaper, or
Yes, I'm sorry. I should really just switch this Twitter account to properly identify myself. I can at least make my profile picture a Reaper. But yes, I am. So I'm the guy who runs the website, and like most of the Twitter, Bonzi will also post, Tin will also post, but most of the public stuff I post. And then I like to think it's fun. I'm doing the lore. So if you go on Medium, I'm writing lore for Sunnyside Cemetery. It's just something that's, I turned that into a fun NFT kind of collection at some point. Donnie in our Discord, people, you know, Donnie, he is like wanting to create, you know, a lore book from it, and I think that would be a super cool idea. So we might do something like that.
We can't hear you, Armstead. You might have to. Is it me?
Your game right now.
No. Hey Nick, I think you're really quiet.
He's good.
I don't think you can hear us.
Six for me, at least, or multiple.
He's good.
No, he definitely is.
And so I've just been like, you know, and my son loves minting NFTs with me. So some of it, like, you know, he sees what I've got. And he's like, how many?
I
was like, well, I'm up. I've got four. I was like, yes, let's get two up tonight. You know, so
he forgot to be himself. We should record this in
so he forgot to be himself.
Like I said, a game. So it's cool to hear you guys talk about it, and it's also cool to hear that, as we're getting close to fall, like the reaper season is coming. Like that game, and you're starting to get more of an idea when it can happen, things like that. Firming up the airdrop requirements, firming up the ideas of the different types of cards, the monsters and then the omens and things like that. So, you know, I don't even know. Maybe I just coined the phrase for you guys. It's like creepings in the coming, you know?
Homestead, can you hear me? Cool.
So, keep building, guys.
Can you hear me, Homestead?
I don't think...
I don't think I can hear any
of them. Who else wants to speak? I know I saw people coming in too while Sunnyside and I were chatting. Gaines, you're up here now. You want to chat, buddy?
Oh, I can't hear Gaines either.
I can't hear nothing. What's going on?
Can anyone message Homestead? I don't. Yeah. I think we're.
I'm going to text him right now.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say I think the space needs to be started here.
Did I get rugged bad?
Oh, can you hear now?
I can.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, no one could hear you for almost the entirety of the time you were talking.
Shit. Goddamn you, crypto Twitter.
Like it, you were whispering, and you definitely could not hear me or Jacob.
I looked down and I saw like a lot of emojis, and I was like, "Great, they think what I'm saying is hilarious." Oh, Jesus! All right, so Gaines, how long were you talking for?
His is still messed up. I don't think I've actually heard Gaines talk yet.
Hello, can you guys hear me?
Oh, now I can. Yeah, I can hear you.
It was totally my tech screwing it up, right?
Wait. You can hear me though, for real? Bro, I thought I was on mute this whole time.
Oh, there he goes.
Hey, bro, whatever, yo, Gaines, whatever you did just fucked it. Whatever you did, don't do that.
Dude, I think it was me, man, because I had my buds in, my earbuds, dying, and I tried to get them out before they wrecked the space. And so I
How does what you do affect Gaines, though? What's going on with his mic?
Well, it's my Twitter space that got launched, and so I was, like, bringing him up. And so, I mean, maybe it's his reception. But I was on my earbuds, and I saw Gaines coming up to, you know, to come up on the stage. And then I got the warning, like, your earbuds are about to die. So I got them out of my head and I was talking and I could hear, no one could hear me. So it was like still connected to my earbuds or something. And so I don't know if that was what's rugging Gaines, but I feel like when the host has technology issues, it rugs everybody. So that's my take on it. And I'm really sorry, everyone.
Yeah, as someone who's tried to use Twitter Spaces with buds too, 100%, it's the worst rugging. I can't believe it's so inept, honestly, at this point. Like, the fact that they want this thing to be good, but you can't use it when you're wearing, in my case, Samsung buds, which it's not like some weird third party. It's Samsung. I can't use my Samsung earbuds when I'm using Twitter Spaces. Are you fucking serious? Like,
go for it, Gaines. We're just shooting. You don't have to raise your hand.
I don't know what happened that, like, past few 5 minutes, but I thought it was, like, requesting to speak, and I thought I was on mute, too. And
I think we actually went into, like, the Twilight Zone or something for a minute there. I don't know exactly what happened, but...
Did you speak? You could, right?
No, I couldn't hear you.
I couldn't hear at all. I heard other people faintly. And I thought they were just like talking and like on their, like, you know how sometimes people don't turn off their mic, or don't mute.
Yeah.
But I couldn't hear you at all. And then I like said like, oh yeah, now you're here. Can you speak? And I saw you emojiing and I saw emojis from everyone. And then I realized like, you know what? I'm not actually hearing anyone talking. And I totally realized like Twitter was rugging the shit out of me.
Oh, I thought you guys were laughing at me because I was not muted and I was, you know, talking with my wife.
No, nobody heard you talking with your wife as far as I know.
Well, so, shit.
Thanks to my technology.
Great. You guys didn't want to hear that. Great, great.
Well, I'm sorry. Saturday night turned out rough, man.
No, we're having fun.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's definitely a rough one then. You gotta get the little girl to bed, right? You have a little kid, right?
Yep. Everybody's in bed, I think. Maybe my son's still watching TV, but yeah.
But yeah, camping can be rough with the little ones for sure.
Bro, we were supposed to go on a kayaking trip today, man, and it started freaking raining and got really cold, so we. Oof. Oh, what a bummer.
Yeah, for sure. You don't want to be out on the river when that happens, you know?
Nah, dude. But hey, shout out to the Reaper Squad, dude. They hooked us up with a ton of Reapers. The Espanol community love the Reapers. We still have a few in our backpack that we're gonna give out for some giveaways. So we've been slowly giving them out. we try to do some fun things with them, try to host some games on Telegram, but Definitely love that you guys hooked us up with a ton of Reapers.
Appreciate the shout out. Yeah, no. Well,
sorry, guys. I didn't mean to cut anyone
off. Oh, no. You're good. I just want to say thank you. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Bonzi. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, like anytime, if it's any supporter that we know, like we're always happy to like help send some rewards over for giveaways. We're hesitant with the pop-up projects, you know, the project that we've never heard of that's launching in a week on Stargaze that says, hey, we'll give away 10 NFTs. Could we give away some of yours? We're much more hesitant on those now. But like anytime it's an established person, community project, you know, influencer, otherwise, we're always happy to send a few over to help out with that kind of stuff. Also, I'm going to be MIA. I'll be listening, but I'm actually finally going to put the oil in my bike, so I won't be talking here for at least 5-10 minutes.
Wait, hold on a second. What kind of bike you got?
2019 SV650. I feel like I'm missing the word on it. SV650 SVX. That of it.
What is that, a cross Suzuki?
Cafe racer. So like slightly more aggressive riding, but not crotch rocket level.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I got it this year. I'm very happy.
Tweet a picture and then pin the picture.
Hold on. I got to keep the BOGO pinned, but I'll tweet a picture of it.
Well, maybe you can send it over to King, and he can do it.
Oh, yeah. Let's
You guys are welcome.
Where do you want me to tweet? Where do you put this picture?
So if you are a speaker, you can go to any tweet and click the share button.
Oh.
At the top of the bubble, it'll say share to the spaces you're in. And we'd love to see the button.
Okay, yeah, I got that.
Share to the spaces I'm in. Okay, I might be a boomer here. I need to figure this out.
It took me time too, but don't worry.
Okay, well, you go ahead and send it to me, Bonsi.
Okay, so
it can be any tweet too. It doesn't have to point to the are pinned to the Sunnyside profile. Like you could just tweet it, and then go to that tweet, click that share button, and the very top. It's not even like a link or a button. It just says in words, share on the spaces you're talking in. It's weird.
Yeah, Elliot, just tweet it. Just tweet it for the Reapers. People will love it.
Perfect.
Throw a SSR watermark on there if you've got one of the SSR watermarks.
Definitely.
Okay. So I just tweeted it. Oh wait, hold on. Okay, send now. So it's now. How do I share it?
Okay, so if it's a live tweet, then go over into the spot. I'm sorry, I'm probably talking too close to the phone because I'm not on buds. So if I'm yelling, tell me, guys. But go down to where you share it, like to share the link or copy link or whatever. Click that little button, and it pops up.
I did it for
there it is. Oh, I see it.
Yeah.
No question mark. No question mark. Reapers for sure. Reapers exclamation point. Nice.
Okay, that worked.
Now you know how to do it.
Perfect. Well, appreciate that. I'm still learning Twitter and Discord. But all right, I'll be listening.
And now we know what you're working on.
Yo, I'll be hanging around, guys. So if anybody has questions for, you know, Sunnyside Reapers, I can probably answer them, and then Bonzi can yell at me later if he doesn't like my answers.
Hey, that's a nice bike, dude. That's a nice bike.
Hey, Gaines, did the Juno Flex come out already?
What's up? Hold on, I couldn't hear you. I have bad service.
The Juno Flex.
Yeah. The NFT Flex. Juno have it live. Yep. I personally haven't had time to play around with it though since I've been up here camping. So when I get back home, I'll mess around with it for sure.
Gaines, was that last week that I saw that pop up into my Twitter feed for the first time?
The first time, that we launched the Stargaze ability to flex NFTs, and then I think Friday is the Friday was the Juno ones.
The devs are cooking some cool ideas though. Make this app even better. So right now it's just the beta, you know? This is just the first phase.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. Can you put those links up here too for people?
Yeah, sure, dude. Yeah.
And then please finish what you were saying about what your dev work's doing and things like that. I'd love to hear it.
Oh yeah. There's gonna be some really cool, interesting things that the app is gonna be able to do. But right now it's just the beta. Just the very, very simplistic stuff, you know, just hop on that website, link your Twitter to the app, and then sign into your Stargaze wallet with Kepler, right? And after connecting the app, you flex your NFTs. Now we have the ability to do that with Juno. It's really easy. So you just basically connect your wallet, and once the NFTs show up, you drag and drop them into boxes, and you click flex. And then it'll ask you like what you want to type in the field. So whenever you do click flex, it'll populate it to like the Twitter feed. So it's very simple, very easy, and like simplistic. But that's just the first step. The next steps are going to be pretty cool. and hoping to get the secret network launched very soon too.
It's a really cool concept you've come up with, Gaines. You talked about it maybe about 3 weeks ago and kind of teased it on your space, your Cosmos spaces, Twitter spaces, that you had something coming that was going to let people really show their NFTs in a different way. So I'm glad to see it out there and like see people flexing, you know, it's really cool, dude. So good job.
Yeah. How do I explain this? It's nothing very complicated, right? But the more and more people give me some feedback, maybe what kind of features they would like to see, you can keep adding those things on there. I even gave the feedback as, you know, maybe once people click flex, it'll actually tag the NFT project on Twitter. Because right now when you click flex, you got to populate in the field whatever, you know, you want, whatever info you want. It'd be cool somehow to link like the creator's Twitter account to each time that you flex. It'll know right away. Oh, so if I'm flexing this NFT on Juno, it'll automatically populate the username for that particular.
Wait. Jacob, you can connect the analytics tool to this, couldn't you? Sorry, I didn't mean to yell into my phone, guys. Jacob, can you connect the analytics to that?
Yeah, like, that would be cool.
Maybe what he's just saying right there about the flex and like the way, like, you know, like that's amazing. Like, you could track how many people are flexing. You could use Little Gaines' idea of promoting the NFT community with this, like, show off what I love the most. And like, I mean, we've talked about this in many spaces and we talked about it earlier tonight, but like, how do we track the blue chips? But this is a way to track the blue chips, isn't it?
Yeah, that could be something we implement. Maybe we could chat with against Dev and that they're working at Atlas Dive and see what we can do.
But I mean, seriously, Gaines, like, if you've got analytics on who's sharing, like, their flex across each platform, and that's, you know, you can assign a value. You've got five spaces there. You can assign a value, just like, you know, a ranking system on a vote, where like it's 5 points for the top one, 4 points for the next one, or you could even weight it more. You know, the top one could get 10 points, and the bottom one could get 1 point, and the other ones in between could get 4 or 5, you know, 6 through something like that. But like, you could do something really cool with that to keep promoting it. And I don't know, Little Gaines, that's a pretty cool idea you've got there to connect the community. And
it is a pretty neat idea. But with any idea that comes up with this app, you got to be very cautious of privacy, right? We want to make sure that privacy is like the number one thing here. So there, all those things come into play with the creativity that we can come up with. But it would be nice to see some sort of like a tool come out of it as well. Like when you're flexing these NFTs, it'll keep track of, well, what collection keeps getting flexed as the top one, right? But that's, like I said, we can get really creative with that. Hey. But we got to be, yeah.
What's up? Could Rack have a AI bot keeping track of Lil Gaines's flex NFTs?
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to the ability to flex the collections on Star. I'm sorry, on Stash. But that won't be done for a while, because, you know, the stuff on Secret Works, it's, you know, very it's a little bit more complicated than just the ones that we can flex on Stargazer or Juno.
But isn't part of the Rack model licensing their AI technology out? And so couldn't that become part of the Little Gaines flex your NFT, you know, this like whole thing where like you're kind of giving everyone in Cosmos a chance to show off a little bit, but not necessarily
in this like right after mint day way that happens, I think. And I think that's kind of the idea of what you're doing, or at least my take on it. I don't know.
Okay, what you mean? Well, I know they're working towards providing AI as a service, and then rack as a service. So, not sure where they really want to take that, or how they want to involve me with it. But one thing I did bring up to the team was, since I'm getting a ton of requests to get the rack tatted up with letters on the top, like how I have with my profile, I suggested like maybe partnering up with Viral and releasing batches of my custom, you know, tattooing on these NFTs, because right now I'm pretty backed up with requests, and the way I'm handling it is basically just send me a DM on Discord and I'll get to you, you know, once I'm done with the current rack that I'm working on. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see where we can take it, you know, one step at a time here. I'm pretty busy with other stuff too. Like, obviously like the top priority for me. So I'm doing this as I have time. It's crazy, man. It's crazy how many people are hitting me.
Gaines, are we losing you?
You probably are. I probably have bad service.
Is it me, guys? Can you hear me? Because I heard him just now.
Yeah, we can't hear you. Just Gaines. I think Gaines cutting out a little bit.
All right. He said he was camping, so no biggie.
Yeah, no biggie.
Is it space rugging or everyone's service rugging?
I think it seems individual right now. It seems like Gaines might be in a kind of a. He said he was out camping with his family, so he might be in a spot where service isn't the best. I'm hearing you. I'm hearing Jacob. Whoever else is out there, I don't know. Gaines, you were coming in pretty clear for a bit there. I don't know what happened. If you had to take a little walk away from the campsite so you didn't disturb the family or something.
It's just my service out here. It's pretty rough and it's cloudy. So probably not audible right now, but anyway.
Perfect right there, buddy. Just don't stand, don't move, don't pick your nose, you know?
I'm literally holding my phone up in the air.
Bro, I do it all the time. Like, the more I've got into chatting in Twitter spaces, the more I'm like, oh, God, I've got to be in the right spot in the house or, like, my battery or whatever. Like, it never was a thing for me. And then now, like, you know, you're just talking to people or whatever or, like, listening to people and you don't even want them to think, like, oh, I'm there listening and, like, they might ask you a question or something and you can't answer. And, like, to me, that always feels like a bad thing to do or, like, a weird thing to do. Like, I'd rather get out of the space or something.
Yeah.
So it's funny the way that works out. And, like, I'm always looking, like, do I still have the reception, you know? Because I'm in one of those spots, too, where.
Yeah, sounds good.
You know, it rugs me.
Homestead, what part of the country are you in?
I'm in. We're kind of in the middle of the state. The region we're in is called Maryland's Blue Ridge, and literally I'm right next to it. Like, I'm on the plateau of the Blue Ridge, so it can be a little wonky sometimes depending on the weather. We've got a mountain ridge right next to us that goes up to about 2,000 feet. So yeah, depending on what's going on atmospherically, or where I am standing in the house, or sometimes maybe what's going on in our like local city, like if there's a lot of bandwidth being used because of a festival or a fair is happening, like I find I get rugged pretty easily in my house. Like, you know, I don't know. How about you guys? Where are you? How's it affect your service?
What do you mean?
Well, you're in Jersey, right, Jacob?
Yeah, I'm in Jersey right now, so I'm not camping, so.
You've got good service regularly? Or, like, sometimes it just, like, bug out? Like, especially summertime, you know, like, people.
It depends where I'm at. Like, if I'm, let me see, because I live No, I think I got booster before the most part. Just depend time of the day. I think 3-9 or like something like that. But
I will say I recently bought a house with my fiance, and it's got fiber internet for the first time, and that's a game changer for all sorts of streaming. And we tend to watch a lot of movies, and so having like 4K movies and being able to stream that basically is a game changer.
I can hear that for you. That's great, dude. There's something about like making those little moves up in life. And like, I think that's kind of something that's inherent among the discussions in crypto Twitter and crypto discords and things like that. Like, oh, everybody's kind of trying to get to this next point, or like we've all got our goals, but like it's awesome to hear that, like, hey, your next house has some like awesome internet that you're not used to, and you guys are looking forward to experiencing that. Like, to hear people kind of, I don't know, you know, making those steps forward, that's always awesome, you know. Like, that's always, it's kind of like what we were talking about earlier. Like, I love hearing people like get lucky, succeed, you know, have some fun. Like, I love hearing about people's happiness. So hearing that you and your fiance have got a new house that you're excited about, and like, you know, step up in the utilities, and you're like, hell yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm going to veg out and watch movies like a motherfucker. Like, that sounds amazing. So good for you, bro.
Yeah, I didn't mean to just throw a, like, you know, not even subtle brag onto the chat. I've had a few, you know, so I apologize. But, you know, I love this space, dude. This has been an awesome place to hang out. And like, just you cultivating this has been, I don't know, a great place to hang out. And you've been a great part of like everything that we've done, you know, as a project, as the Sunnyside Reapers. And so I don't know, I appreciate all of the energy that you've been putting out into this space and all the positivity. It's something that we feed off of, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. And I think a lot of us in this kind of Cosmos ecosystem put that out there. Like, you know, if you put positivity into the universe, like, you get positivity back. And I am one of those believers. Like, I've always been a person who's tried to follow the signs in life. And, you know, if people want to call me hokey for that or whatever, that's fine. One of the discussions I had with the Gelato team last week, when things were kind of going a little, you know, not great. You know, I said to him, I was like, look, my third eye is open every day. Like, I always am thinking about things from everyone's perspective, my own, things like that. So like, to hear people have success or to have something that makes them very excited is very easy for me to feel excited as well, because there's nothing better than people being happy, or like, you know, the feeling of love and happiness. Like, there's nothing better than that, right? And so it's really easy for me to put my understanding behind that. And so something like buying a house, or, you know, moving into a place with your fiance, who doesn't want to be happy for someone for that? And who doesn't want to try and understand that that's like basically a lot of people's goals, whether, you know, no matter who you are. Like, the idea of getting to this point where you can kind of have your own space and be with someone you love, like, that's what we all want, you know, whether you want a kid or not, or, you know, things like that. Everyone's got a little bit different idea on it at the end of the day. But at the same time, we all want that space where we just feel happy. So to hear people say that, and to hear people that have helped me in this space say that, and to hear people that, I don't know, want to be good cosmonauts and keep building this space say that, why wouldn't I be happy for them? Why wouldn't I feel that same joy? And again, like, I got into this space thinking like all of these things, and my kind of outlook on life is that we're all connected, and this cryptocurrency ecosystem is called the cosmos, and it's all interconnected. So it really made sense to me to get involved. And then of course I met people like you and Bonzi and Jackers and Donnie and people like that, and it just kind of took off for me from there. But I appreciate that you, I don't know, want to give me a shout out there when I'm trying to give you a shout out. And congratulations on, you know, the advancements in your own life. So, and sorry for everyone who just had to listen to that tangent. Shit, I should sign off. That means I'm probably getting too buzzed.
No, I appreciate that, man. Yeah. No, shit. Do we have any more hot takes? We should probably drop some hot takes. Shit. I don't know who's next blue chip. You know, drop instant. You know, when you hear blue chip, what project becomes synonymous in your mind?
Space Ape would be the big one that I see. I just got done changing it, so I'm back. But if you want hot takes, ask me almost anything crypto. I'll probably have something hidden in there for you.
All right, there you go. That's the Sunnyside Reapers official hot take.
We go left, they go right. That's the motto.
I mean, it's really good to have everyone here tonight. So, and have a chill space going on. I'm really glad to have, I don't know, just some of the friends I've made in this journey here chatting tonight. So thank you all for showing up. If I don't speak much, doesn't mean anything. I'll keep leaving the space open. And I'm listening. Don't start talking smack about me. But yeah, y'all are great.
Oh, don't try to make us carry. But no, I mean, it's definitely been fun getting out here. I at least from our own project, I can tell you, like, I say this pretty often, like, I got into somewhat of like a heated argument with like a guy in the suggestion box on the Stargaze Discord about what quite frankly was like an unreasonable request he had, and he shot back like, oh, I get it, you made like a bunch of money. And I always tell people, is like, no, like, between the split, like, I could make more money working a part-time job at McDonald's for 10 hours a week. Half the reason our group is still here is like, this is like fun for us, like these spaces, talking in the Discord. It's like, it doesn't feel like a job. Half of the reason that, you know, we're so dedicated is like, it's fun being involved in this community. And I don't think that can be said of every NFT community. Like, I think it's
shit.
Is a bloodbath in terms of like competitiveness and stuff. But yeah, just a few notes on that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to hit the mute button. I was going to chime in and say to me, like, it's not just an NFT community, and that's what I love about it. And that's what I love about you guys, and like Jacob, all these projects, like, the people here building real projects don't just look at it as an NFT community or like a Cosmosm project or things like that. Like, and even like these other, like it's not even like just these side projects that are coming anymore. Like, it's DYDX is coming now, you know? It's not just an NFT community like the Stargaze has created anymore, you know? Sure. And I think that's one of the is, there is that part of it, but then you see like yourselves building this other project, and you see, you know, somebody like Little running the validator, doing the Cosmos Spaces things, like it's not just, you know, a bunch of investors or an NFT community. There's something more that's going on. So that's the part that I come back to, and that's especially when we get into good spaces and hear people talking about their projects. That's what I always come back to. Like, it's not just one thing. It's not just an NFT community. It's not just a gambling platform. It's not just a bunch of crypto degens going after crazy rewards and FOT, you know, or the next iteration, whatever it's going to be, because you know we're all aping after it. But that's what always gets me.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, there's always these specific projects that I always like to call out because they're who the ones like I've interacted with. You know, I probably neglected it earlier, but like I know IBC Friends is in here, and like I know they have like a huge community that's actively involved. And I know there's others that I haven't interacted with that have that same thriving community. I just never always have the time to like check out everything we're involved in. But, you know, one of the biggest things is like guys like you, Homestead, Lil Gaines, Terra Spaces in here. DeFi Jedi is like another one. Cosmo Joe. I feel like there's a few others, too. You know, they're influencers, I'd call them, but they're not like they're not the Instagram influencers. Like they're not doing things for profit. They're really just help bringing up the community and like keeping everyone engaged and just giving informative information. I think, you know, people like you guys is a huge reason that we can continue to see engagement and growth in the system is just because there are these trustworthy individuals who are always up there and always active. And, you know, you find them everywhere helping everyone out.
They're networkers. We can, you know, call them the Cosmos Networkers. Maybe that's a better name with the, you know, things people have gotten in trouble with being called influencers.
Yeah, influencers is kind of a word I wanted to avoid, but I wasn't sure like what else to use for it, right?
Yeah, not going to lie. Project helper. You know, like I'm going to write bunch of things like that, but I'd love to help projects. And I recognize there's a lot of projects out there that are 3, 4, 5 people that need help. And exactly what Bozzy just said, you know, like I don't need to get rich off anybody or anything like that. I just want to help this ecosystem grow because I think it's pretty awesome. The concept of the Cosmos ecosystem, the concept of the Juno ecosystem. I don't need to be an influencer, you know, I don't need to be paid to like retweet shit from a project. I'd rather write my own tweets and see people retweet them, honestly, because they think that there's some value in what I'm writing, or I bring education to people about the projects that I'm trying to help out. So yeah, what you guys are saying, it resonates with me because you know, I don't think of myself as an influencer, and I don't think of some of these other people as influencers that have come along in the same time as me. People like Jackers, or even like maybe like a Justin True. You know, I think
hey, is he the guy from Maui?
Yeah, exactly. He's the guy.
Yo, I love that dude so much.
Dude, he's such a nice dude. He just wants to like onboard people into like Stargaze projects.
Yo, the other one, I'll give a shout out. I don't think he's here anymore, but he was here. Scotty Interstellar, I think. He's got a really distinctive profile picture.
I saw Scotty in here earlier, and he is definitely one of those two in the Cosmos ecosystem that's just, he's always commenting on projects. Like he's read people's roadmaps, you know. Like you can tell every time he's commenting on people's stuff. Like he's been in their Discord, he's looked at their roadmaps. He'll answer somebody else's question on the same thing after he comments. Things like that. And then the other thing that Scotty's always doing, and I'm sure everyone sees it, is he's always calling out, you know, like the scam help desk accounts that pop up in people's feeds. So yeah, there's real people like that out there. And there's a lot of us. And like I said, like we don't consider ourselves influencers or, you know, anything like that. We just want to help projects and help this ecosystem grow. And yeah, it's exactly what we
should. Building off of what you said, and if I just kind of like bring, I think it's pretty well known at this fact, but like kind of bring up one that we've, it was more popular last month, but like just kind of a huge thing that we saw a lot of projects start to do that a lot of them were, they came and went, right? Like they announced the mint date and then they disappeared, just to kind of like, I don't know, shed a little bit of light of what we're seeing like on the scammer side from as a creator anyway. Well, that's a go ahead.
Yeah, dude, speak freely, man. You don't have to ask me.
Fair. So like this one, I think I brought up a little bit ago, but like at least on the scammer side of things for Stargaze as a creator, the last month, June, well, 2 months ago, I guess, June and early July, a lot of what these scam projects did is they would create this account and then they would reach out to all well-known creators or relatively well-known, usually small to medium size. And they'd say, hey, do you mind hosting a giveaway for us? Where they would offer whitelist or NFTs from their own collection to get this visibility, retweets, and promotion from these more well-known projects. And then what would end up happening, here's an example of one, the BDSM, the mosquito thing. They'd reach out to you. They'd ask you to do these like giveaways. So they go from zero followers to 900 followers, 1,000 followers, like 2 weeks. They also reach out to community members as well. So I think just from both creators and the community side, when you get these offers in your inbox and you're somebody who has 1,000, 2,000 followers, oh, look into their project. See, have they been around or is this just a brand new account asking for free promotion where they disappear as soon as their mint date comes? That's all I really had on that. I just wanted to bring that up as we had a lot of popularity and we know a lot of mints happened off that strategy in the past 2 months.
I think you make a good point there. I've talked about it on Crypto Tanks program a couple of times the last couple of weeks on NFT Thursday, where I'm wary of any project where their only utility is like sharing their aftermarket sales, or like once we mint out, we're going to stake this percentage of the mint revenue. Well, you're assuming the mint out or you're assuming the aftermarket sales, and that's the only thing you're promising people. And I think BDSM did that. That was their only thing that they promised. I think Alternarix tried to make it a nicer spin of that. And admittedly, I ran a giveaway for Alternarix, so I'll call myself out right there. BDSM reached out to chat about their plan. Alternarix reached out to me and we had a lot of conversation. And so that's one of my litmus tests for a project is, will you talk to me and answer my questions and do you have good answers and things like that? Admittedly, I can't screen everything perfectly. I reached out to Alternarix even once their mint started and said, like, now's the time to get in touch with Cosmos Joe and do a interview, right? And like promote roadmap and things like that. So that's one of the things that, like, you know, I definitely try and do. And, you know, people who have worked with me, I'm sure would vouch for that. Like when they reach out to me for a giveaway and things like that, they get a lot more out of that discussion than probably most times. And I think, you know, like I said, there's other people out there doing that, like Jackers and Jay Smiles, that want to try and help these projects and guide them and say, look, collaborate with these other projects that are doing good things. Interview with people that are real people that you're going to get your message out there, get into a Twitter spaces and talk to the community. Ultimately, that's, you know, it's not the necessarily the best that those of us trying to help projects can do. But it's a bare minimum, I guess, if that's what I'm trying to get after. Like, everyone trying to do this should also have that kind of inherent desire to, like, ask some bare minimum questions and, like, do some due diligence. Because, you know, I, like Bonzi raised the point earlier, like, Stargaze, they're going to try and put more constraints on launching and things like that. But at the end of the day, it's on all of us, right, to, like, call out projects that maybe aren't looking good, or, you know, if the projects are reaching out to us, try and give them ideas on how to do the right thing. They're not gonna. And we can call them out afterwards, or we can, you know, talk about it and figure out a way to come up with something better. But
one interesting thing on that point. So with the Hero launch, all of the traits having the same name, I believe Stargaze is working with them to launch some sort of like a migrated trait collection. They're doing a new solution from what I understand, which is kind of interesting. It's something like driving evolution in the platform. Because the reason for it was like a botched launch, like I'm confident in saying that. But, you know, they were able to work it out where the collection didn't collapse and the hype around it was real. So.
Oh, and just to speak on that, that's actually very possible from a technological standpoint. If they re-ment the set with like the Dash or Jet, sorry, the dog's hearing is causing some issues. But it's the metadata. Hold on, let me take back what I said. But I think you could pull the holders list. See who's holding what number, and as long as they minted them in the correct order, the same images match the same images, they could just do a form of an airdrop. That said, I don't know how you'd regenerate that set without manually inputting piece by piece what the assets were into the metadata itself.
Wait, so what happened to them? Did something wrong happen to the metadata?
I don't want to take too many shots, but they somehow made their collection where the images were randomized, but they uploaded the same traits for every single image. And the reason I don't understand how that's possible is because they're named differently. They're named 1, 2, 3, 4, and that's in the metadata. But all the traits were the same. So it's almost... like the way that the program is set up, assuming that they're using the same one that 99% of people are using, it's automated. So I'm personally baffled as to how that mistake was made, because the program does not give you an option where you could just upload the same metadata. It should have just been done correctly. So I know they had an AMA, and I hope somebody asked that, because to me, it almost would have to be intentional for them to have done it the way that they did, because they were creating the metadata and they were creating the images. How is it possible that the traits were wrong, the image linking and the image numbers were updating? That would be my big question to them.
It might have been a mistake too, but let's see. You said they were working with the Stargaze team to figure something out.
That was my understanding from reading some chat, and I don't know if I could give you a link to it at the moment, but I'm pretty sure in the Stargaze chat there was something in a channel where people were talking about that.
Gotcha. With Stargaze V1 contract going on right now, you should be able to do some interesting thing, like maybe voting a contract, NFT, unlimited NFTs, or like do some cool other thing. Like, you can add to the NFT. I don't know. There's something you can do now with the smart contract being live. I don't know if that makes sense, but yeah. Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we yep. can. Yeah,
no, I think the you said the pop live on Stargaze now for the V1 contract.
I haven't read into it at all, to be honest. I know it's coming very soon. I know the audit's complete and there's bug fixes, but I didn't see or read about what was happening. If there's any user updates from a user standpoint or not, or a creator and what they can do with the collections.
There's not much user update, like user interface update, just the smart contract, like that you'll be able to do more thing in the future.
Like, sorry, go on.
No, you can go ahead.
Okay. Do you know with this one, is that a government proposal where they're going to start like verifying creators and giving them like a badge of approval? Is that a part of this, or is that still a work in progress?
I don't think that's part of it. Let me double check right now.
Gotcha. That one, I think that one's huge because, like, you know, a lot of people are complaining about like the copycats. I think it was like Stargaze Gators. Their collection, literally, somebody stole the whole collection and just minted it before them. I'm not sure how that happened, but that was one thing that I know I heard of.
Speaking of copycats, and it's not a copycat, but it just it bothers me. This Gaze Hunters project, have you guys seen it?
I've seen it, but I don't know what it's based off of.
So it was I don't know exactly the right way to say it, and I kind of wish that they were there, somebody from the project would actually come speak to the community, because I feel like I might be throwing someone under the bus, but you never know, and you just have to speak what you feel. But this project came to Stargaze from a like failed secret project, I think, and it was called Secret Hunters. And they were going to have like these, like that big game NFTs, so like bills and large right, animals.
Yeah, on the little back and forth with you guys on Twitter, they got immediately defensive.
Yeah, they really got rankled. So that project happened in like early April, I want to say. And it was just when I was starting to work with some NFT projects and things like that. So, you know, admittedly, I wasn't pushing any buttons or anything. But I did chime in on the comment feed back then because, you know, a couple of my buddies commented, like, these people aren't paying out their giveaways. And so, you know, whatever happened back then. It kind of blew over, and you know how much things progress in crypto. 4 weeks is 4 years, and especially when there's a Terra collapse, then it's, you know, a decade is what it feels like. So everyone moved on, and then I saw these NFTs and I was like, gosh, this feels very familiar to me. And as soon as I said that, of course, in the few bucks said it, and like you said, they got real defensive.
I mean,
something about it just didn't feel right. And I don't know if Ambedo is still here, if he's listening, but I asked him to look into the addresses that the Stargaze project is providing. And apparently they're connected to other projects. And, you know, I just don't know. Like, is there somebody out there just rugging us all left and right on different, like, they move from C to Stargaze and then back again or something like that with these different projects?
I guess what I would say is normally I avoid throwing any direct shade, but like I saw the way that he had responded to you, he or she had responded to you, the immediate defensiveness and like almost threat like retaliation.
Well, it was threatening. You're right. Yeah, it was threatening.
Yeah,
I just, regardless of if it's legit or not, it's not a project I support, because it wasn't even, they didn't take criticism lightly. Like, to me, it just shows the creators are not mature enough to make something long term that's going to be successful. So I will gladly directly throw shade on that one.
So I've got it from people.
Yo, Nick. Do you mind if I jump in here to interject that the Gelato 203 Juno jackpot lottery is going to be drawn in 8 minutes?
Go.
Yo.
Everybody, wish me luck.
Yo, is Risby still in here? Holy moly. Did you say 203 Juno?
I think he's out.
They must be. They must have left and gone to our Discord to celebrate a successful day. So, anyways, back to the Stargazers things or the Gaze Hunters things. So, I've heard from multiple members. Well, not multiple members. I've heard from one member of the community that they're not paying out their giveaways again, just like they did on Secret. The other thing that bugs me is that they're selling these shields, and the shield, if you look at it on the minting website, it's the whitelist for the next NFT series. So you've got to buy the whitelist for the next NFT series for the NFT series that already failed. Does that make sense?
Here's, I guess, what I'll say, like most projects in some format, the way that they kind of like do funding, right, is like you're always buying a future promise. Ours, for example, we do the low cost, high volume, and it's helping us, you know, get things developed for our game, help keep the airdrop right, help pay for marketing, help pay for some of the art and collections. Ollie's is another one, right? Like you mint this egg and a game's going to be there. Same with Andromaverse. So all projects do it to some extent when there's a future utility attached. I'm with you. I don't think it's legitimate. I think it's just, hey, let's try to get some mints now, hope that people buy into what we're saying, and probably never deliver part two of the part two plan. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not really sure. Everyone's got a right to make money and try and figure out what the right thing to do for them is. You know, you got to talk to people like Rarma and Ambedo and other kind of sleuths to understand, like, their wallets connect to a lot of things going on. And, like, think about, like, you know, I've got a backup Atom wallet and a backup Juno wallet. Fair disclosure. And they're both titled that. And if anybody wants to search me out, that's fine. You know, they'll find that out. And it's, you know, it's smart to have a backup wallet. You're really dumb if you don't. There are people who exploit that ability. There are people who will exploit the ability to mint multiple collections to Stargaze because it just opened and it's permissionless, or, you know, things like that. We've got people out there that look into these things. And I mean, honestly, like I said, I've been chatting with Ambedo behind the scenes, and he puts together these web maps that make me a little bit concerned about some of these projects out there, and that they're coming from one or two people only, and they're tied to 8 or 10 projects, or that there's 8 or 10 projects tied to one wallet. And he illustrated that the other day on Twitter in public for everyone. So those kind of things are the ones that, you know, when we're having this kind of conversation, I'm like, you know, yeah, there's people out there that are doing weird things, or, you know, there's nothing wrong with making money and launching an NFT series. But when you're relaunching a series that failed because you just didn't do a good job and you didn't pay out your giveaways and you're charging people to remint a whitelist, no, that doesn't sit right with me.
And they actually made a whole new Twitter too, as I recall. Like, they deleted their old one and restarted the same Twitter account, but just from scratch. I do get it. Like, the talking down part, I try to be fairly precautious about it. I'm sure you even more so. A lot of times we won't directly call out projects. We just don't. But there's a lot of you know, if it's a court of law, criminal defense, you need to be absolutely certain. There's a lot of actions or kind of techniques that when we see, you can usually tell pretty quickly and certainly that what a project might be doing is shady or like it's not going to be legitimate. But try to avoid them out because it's kind of a gray area. But we do it a lot with the people like in our DMs, kind of like how you said, you usually try to meet the person, get them to talk on a space. Like one of the things like we always look at is like, all right, how old's the Twitter account? Okay, it's a week old and it has 4,000 followers and 2 tweets. It's like, okay, so they bought bots. Or another one would be like, okay, so the Twitter space is 2 years old. And then you look up to 2 weeks ago. This one was huge when Terra collapsed. There's these scam Twitter accounts with 150,000 followers that say, any interaction with this tweet will send out Luna. And then for some reason, it'll get 20,000 plus retweets. And it's like, how are they going to send you Luna? You just retweeted them. Like, you didn't give them an address. They don't have an address. And if you look at that account, 2 weeks ago, it was doing the same thing, but with Shiba Coin. It just switches from whatever the latest hot topic is, and then it just scams a new one. It starts off with nothing at first, and then after a bit,
when you interact with that tweet, then they end up in your feed later.
Yep, and
whatever their bot is, or whatever protocol they're involved with, or whatever chain they're on, your feed more later.
Well, and what ends up happening with that too is that when it starts off, there's no harm, no fall to it. But after they let that tweet run for a little bit, after about a week, what they do is in their bio, they put a donate button on it for PayPal or Venmo to help. They say some BS charity or like help Luna rebuild or something like that. I remember because I saw it retweeted in our space a ton. I was like, why are people retweeting this? It's like it's just a scam account, just looking for free money. That's like another big one we see on Twitter. Beyond that, like reverse Google image search would be a quick way to find scams. A lot of it just kind of comes down to, look at the interaction. This Twitter account, and I do this even with legitimate ones, and I'm not even going to fault projects who do buy bots. It's kind of a marketing tool, but I won't name them, but there's two projects that have about 20 to 30,000 followers apiece. Well, the one with 20,000 gets about 4x the average Twitter interaction of the one with 30,000. So like right off the bat, the one with 20,000 did not pay for bots and the one that with 30,000 did pay for bots. It's one of the things that I'm hounding on Stargaze all the time on their like potential fraud things. I keep seeing DAO to decide what's a scam and it's too slow. I really like do want to help them kind of perfect or at least like improve the process behind that. And it's one of the things where I think, I can at least generally pick out pretty easily what's problematic and what's not. That's all I got.
That was some pretty cool insight. And like, I don't know. I think it's really good for projects to talk about this and like kind of get out there like what they think of shady practices and stuff like that.
So, you know, we should have spaces like this more often where actual projects can kind of voice those kind of things, you know? I don't think that, you know, probably the Sunnyside Reapers and the Baddies versus Goodies and those types of projects get enough time to actually talk about that, like the way you just did, you know, or like, you know, just have some time to talk to the community the way you just did. So, you know, like I said, glad you guys are here and, you know, have been supporting, you know.
And, you know, for the past like 1 or 2 months, I've been saying I've been pretty busy with my real work, but one of our biggest initiatives, like me coming back, is just to get on more spaces and talk more. For the scam side of it, it's something I really do kind of want to beat a dead horse in, not only, you know, just to bring awareness to it, but quite frankly, it's a huge shock to a lot of users when, you know, they mint Bored Ape Scam Yacht Club number 5 and they're like, where'd my NFT go? I'm going back to Ethereum. I think with just getting more people aware of the usual scam antics, it helps retain users. It helps build trust in the system. It helps save, you know, people from spending money on these scams. It just in general keeps everyone happier. Like a lot of what I say or said right there, you know, to a lot of users might have just been like, well, everyone knows that. It's actually like, hop on any Reddit thread and you'll see like one of the posts on Stargaze is like, Bored Ape Yacht Club a scam ? And then it's like some dude who minted like, you know, 5 or 10 of them, and I was like, well, yeah, it is a scam. So I think even though sometimes a lot of these tactics seem basic, it's worth just kind of beating the dead horse and just making sure, like, hey, for people just entering the space who aren't familiar with, you know, what tends to go on here, let's get them caught up to speed, so that way they know what to look for. They don't have a bad experience at the end of the day.
That's kind of a interesting kind of point you made there at the very end. I think it's a great segue almost to one of the things that Sunnyside stands for. There's one or two other projects that I think kind of embody this idea, but like onboarding people into the NFT space and onboarding people into the Stargaze space. And kind of like I said, what you were just saying there at the very end really lends itself to that idea of like, we've got to help people get into this, and we've got to, you know, like I said, onboard people into the NFT space. We've got to onboard them not only into the NFT space, but we've got to onboard them away from the other NFT spaces into the Stargaze space. And there's a lot of reasons that should be very easy as things progress. But I think you do kind of, without even realizing it, Bonzi, make a great point there, where, you know, the growth is going to happen for a number of reasons, and having projects like WADS and Sunnyside Reapers that help onboard people, for whatever reason, we need, you know, and I don't think enough people realize that.
Oh, absolutely. Just speaking about our own project, my number one concern going forward has nothing to do with the game. And this is not necessarily based like in, you know, the sense of community, so I'm not going to try to sugarcoat it and make it sound like it is. But one of our like biggest concerns is the total user base that's interested in card games. And then just beyond that, you know, Stargaze team and everyone else, like, I think the primary goal should be, how do you grow the space? And quite frankly, in my opinion, new users to NFTs in general is a much harder reach than to try to convert NFT users from other chains. Our team, this is something I always wanted to do, but we just simply don't have the capacity. The bigger teams that, you know, have the resources to do it, getting them to collaborate with other projects on other chains is, I think, one of the number one ways that we could grow the Stargaze ecosystem. Just to pick out an example, say Starpunks or Bad Kids, Andromaverse, even IBC Friends. I think you guys are like number five on the Hubble tools, or you're up there anyway. Like, just game with like a larger, medium, large Kronos or a larger, medium sized Ethereum, even release on their chain, even if it like doesn't bring you revenue, in the sense that it gets us exposure. Because then if they're like, hey, we really like this collection, they're like, it's a joint collection. Who is the other team that made it? We know the ETH team. And then they're like, oh, it's the Bad Kids team from Stargaze. I haven't heard of it. Then you start getting this trickle of new users in. I think conversion is where it's at. The downside is to really fully realize the potential of that, it requires a lot of effort from teams that, quite frankly, you know, they don't necessarily want more competition if it brings new creators in. But we also need that to help grow the user base of Stargaze and just the ecosystem as a whole, in my opinion.
Yeah, I guess that you kind of drew that interesting argument there between kind of a free-for-all competition and targeting the right user base.
I'm said.
Kind of a good argument for everyone to make.
Hey, I'm said. I'm gonna head out. I have something to do. So, I want to stay for longer, but I gotta go for a little bit. But it was a great space, guys. Thank you for
Jacob. Go ahead, man. No offense.
Yeah. All right.
Don't feel bad, buddy.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a good night, yo.
See you, man. I don't know. Got any other hot topics to talk about, Homestead?
Not really. I should probably get to bed too. I don't know. What are you about, NZ? Keep me going. Keep us going.
No, I'm still sitting in the garage. I wanted to clean the chain too on the bike,
Did you actually change the oil, or was
I did
all okay?
No, I took the photo of the bike. That's like pretty good proof, but no, I actually did change the oil.
You didn't take a photo of like an oil pan or anything. You took a photo of a bike.
No, the oil pan is under it in that photo, I think.
Oh, hang on. Let me scroll. Oh, yeah. All right. The oil pan is there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I meant to get the chain too, but I will do that tomorrow morning. So I'm still good with ND, though. You know, I'm probably the most I've talked on a space probably in all, I don't know, since we've started the project, to be honest.
Seems like techno
stories from Europe you want to share for the space?
Oh, dude.
All right, good. Go for it, bro.
All right. Well, I'm assuming it's night for most of people, but like, when I had to get boosted in order to go to the Europe, I learned that the day before. So the day before, I had 2 hours of sleep, woke up, just felt terrible, was awake for 24 hours before we got to Amsterdam, and we had a 5-hour layover. Decided to take the mushroom truffles there. Just too straight anxiety. Just awful.
Oh, no.
And then beyond that, I mean, our flights got canceled to Portugal, and we had to go to a different country. And it was worth it. But oh, my gosh, the amount of stress through that trip was nothing shy of what the opposite of the trip should have been.
Dude, which ones did you pick in the shop?
I went with the Atlantis. So it was supposed to be
like on the sinking ship.
Yeah, they were. It was just poorly planned. I wasn't feeling good when I got there, but was excited to get there and excited to get to the concert. We went to Tomorrowland, if anyone's heard of it. And then it was like, all right, let's start this trip off right. And then we spent probably an hour during the peak looking for DiBurgi. Thought it was a city where we had to pick up our tickets. Turns out it was a restaurant like in the train station. So yeah, no, it was just an absolute shit show from start to finish.
Oh, that's great.
Should we end on that story?
Yeah, no, I was just getting ready to say, well, on that note, that seems like kind of the perfect way to go out for the night, doesn't it?
That sounds good to me.
Well, thank you, Sunnyside, Bonzi, and King for helping fill some space. Everyone else who chatted too. I guess we started out way back with some Risby and some Daniel. So thanks, Gelato team, for getting in here and talking too, since we had some fun today. Yeah, everyone, have a good night, you know, or a good day. If you're on the other side of the world, keep chilling. Keep compounding your nom. Get into Gelato's Discord for the next round of lottery events.
So, ooh, could I hop in and do our own pump right at the end?
Yeah, come on, man. Pump it, baby.
All right. Through now till tomorrow night, if you mint one Sunnyside up, you'll get airdrop 2 Sunnyside standards. That goes through till tomorrow night. I just had to throw that in there. You reminded me of it. So thank you for letting me say that.
Good night, everybody. If anyone else has anything to pump, well, you got to type it now. Good night.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part 2 of the 2-part Cosmos Blazin' Babble Chill and Chat, hosted by the Homestead Cosmonaut. Recorded on Saturday, August 13th, 2022. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Watching these debates, like, what a bunch of noise. When the illusion of choice outmaneuvers your voices, no one really knows what the fuck is going on here. Sitting in the bunker, waiting for the all clear. It's like we're getting steered towards the motherfucking iceberg. Captain all drunk, deciphering where the ice lurks. And we thought 2020 was gonna be a nice year. Living with the plague, like, who brought the mice here? Try to think of it as another simulation. Game full of bugs, but it's still fun to play. It's like we're aliens, beta testing Earth. Digging in the dirt, trying to earn a little girth. The beast is silent when it defeats the riders. Living outside trying to meet this virus. If you wanna watch it all burn from the sky rise, delete the science and increase the righteous. Living like a jerk, return to feed the worms. Vibing like a tree, just breathing out the words. Be careful outside, them police is violent. Feeling like I finally earned some peace and quiet.
My son,
down to eat a little piece of pie first, trying to be the fat kid you least admire. Feast of fire when the beasts of burden are getting all bored, but at least we're certain we found the imposter living among us, fussing with hunches. Another big chungus bludgeon. Don't worry, the fungus will clean up the guts and get us to function on fleeting assumptions. I see through the rust from rush to rush. Now we're stacked up like a bunch of junk, so hush your muff before we stuff your luck and break your fucking neck to this like bust a bust. Bleeding impulsive, the meeting controls it. When breathing corrosive, no eating the bullshit. Feeling the worth like it's gonna be a good year. Now we're all tired, stop treading on the work here.
My son.
Two Spaces.